Because of Pentecost, His power is abundantly available to us as His people, His church, to transform us, to use us for His glory and the purposes of His kingdom. It's a gift. And we are a Pentecostal church. 1920 Church is a Pentecostal church, but I would add a reserved Pentecostal church. But we identify and seek after the fullness of the Holy Spirit, just as they did on Pentecost. I believe that we need a harvest of the Spirit of God in our lives once again in a powerful way. As witnesses to Christ, we can't afford to stop seeking to be filled with His Holy Spirit. As a church, we cannot afford to remain the same. We need to be transformed and empowered more and more by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot, as God's children, ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit. We as a church need the Holy Spirit filling again and again. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can come to You cleansed of our sins, and that we can put on Your righteousness, and we can come and approach the throne of God and ask, fill us, Father. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people around us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit that we can overcome temptation and sin and desire and long for the things of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Fill us, Holy Spirit, that we can be filled with supernatural faith that's unwavering, and that we can walk in step with the Spirit and hear Your voice as You lead us to pray for our neighbors, to touch people, to be healed. Anything You would have us do, that we would hear it and obey it in power. So Lord, we thank You for every testimony this morning. We thank You for the word that You've given us, as we seek more and more to be filled and used by You for Your glory. Amen. Acts 1, 4 and 5 says, "And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And down to verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is available for us to complete the task, the calling that God has put before us in the harvest. And He wants us to complete that task in His power, and not by our own ingenuity or our own power or strength, but in His power. You can see from the text that God did not ask His people to do His work without giving them the ability to do it. This is why they were asked to wait in Jerusalem until the power from high descended upon them. The message of Acts 1:8 is simple. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no one can preach the gospel in power. With the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 says, "And my speech and my message were not plausible in words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel rests in the wisdom of man, which is limited. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:5, in the last days the church will have people who have the form of or the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. Is that you today? Do you deny the power of God? Do you deny the power of the Holy Spirit? And that's a way of saying that the church will be putting more emphasis on the external, the show, rather than the internal empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need to be like the New Testament church that saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the vital experience of empowering believers to preach the gospel and to be witnesses. We need the Holy Spirit because we need to be transformed. Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Why was there this symbol of fire when the believers received the Holy Spirit? Because symbol is a fire, fire is a symbol of transformation in the presence of God. Fire changes whatever it touches. The Holy Spirit took a group of fishermen, former prostitutes, ex-religious leaders, tax collectors, and various family members of Jesus and other disciples, and formed them into a united group we call the church. Before Pentecost, the disciples were scared. They lacked faith. They did not fully understand God's plan. After Pentecostal fire fell, however, they were united as never before. Nothing earlier except Jesus Christ had united them as one force. It took the fire of God, Holy Spirit, to do this. It's like the simple lesson of a blacksmith. If you take two pieces of iron and try and hammer them together without heat, they will not be united. But when you add fire and heat there and hammer them together, they become one, united. What makes the church work today? The Holy Spirit of God. There has never been a program that has dramatically transformed people's lives, brought them from all walks and cultures and languages of life, and turned them into a united group that can actually accomplish something for the kingdom of heaven. It takes God's Spirit to do that. Are you guys with me? The church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And society won't be transformed unless the church is ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. As His church, we can't afford to ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, as John the Baptist. But He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. The fire that appeared on the heads of each believer in the upper room has a connection to the Old Testament. When Moses dedicated the tabernacle in Leviticus 9:24, it says, fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. And Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, in 2 Chronicles 7:1, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Supernatural fire from the presence of God fell on the sacrifices. This indicated to the people that God had accepted the sacrifice, and His presence came to dwell in the tabernacle and the temple. And the Apostle Paul uses the word temple to indicate that under the new covenant, our bodies are what? The temples of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. At Pentecost, the individual believers had tongues of fire over them, supernatural fire from heaven. And once again, God sent his own fire to demonstrate that from now on, he would accept the temple, the individual, as his dwelling place, so that the believers is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the church, not the building, but the people would now become the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. As a temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes that we are not our own. We are bought with a price, and that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he shed upon the cross for your salvation, for your life. You have been bought by that blood as belonging to God and filled with his Spirit to do works of glory for his name's sake. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. Do you do the same? I was filled by the Holy Spirit for the first time back when CLA was having their Fire and Freedom Revival meetings. Do you guys remember? Anybody go to those? Okay, Sandra. All right. And there was revival going on. It was amazing. People were being saved every night. And people were being filled by the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I remember going to these meetings just desiring to be filled by the Spirit. And they were having these altar calls coming down. You know, I was sitting on the balcony and make my way down. And, you know, they'd have the elders and church staff and pastors praying over people. And I remember just witnessing people to my left and right being filled by the Spirit. They were falling down and speaking in tongues. It was incredible. And I could just feel the presence of the Lord like we did today and are today when we were worshiping. The Lord was there, but I was not filled. And I was crying out to the Lord, why? Why are you not filling me? And it was, I believe it was the third or fourth night that I went to these meetings, and I was just crying out to the Lord, Lord, fill me. And he did. But not when I went to the altar. I was just simply on the balcony worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, he just filled me with the Spirit, and I started speaking in tongues. And it was incredible. It was incredible to be filled with his presence in such a powerful way. He is the living God, and he works the same way today as he did in the book of Acts. He desires to fill us, transform us, empower us to be his witnesses. And I thank God for that relationship with him. And I also know that unless I build and maintain my relationship, I can easily grow cold and stop to feel the Holy Spirit in me and hear his voice. Often we Christians, we neglect our spiritual life. Even though we're clothed with power, we find ourselves out of gas. Can you relate? In Leviticus 6:12, instructions were given that the fire that fell from God should never be permitted to go out. So it was attended constantly around the clock so that it would never go out. So should the fire of the Spirit of God that lives in us be maintained so that we never allow it to go out and grow cold. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do you quench the Spirit? Do you resist it? We should never put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives and working amongst us in the church. Is the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in you today? Is it? If you were the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people, his church, what would you try to do to stop the church? Put out the fire. Put out the power of the Holy Spirit in God's people. And I believe Satan has been successful in this to a degree. He has been able to create a certain level of fear and apprehension amongst the church when it comes to allowing God's Holy Spirit to work. Satan has cunningly worked his way into churches and mimics the Holy Spirit like he does with many good things that God has made. He copies, but he twists it to counterfeit it and make it sinful. Just look at the sexual relationship between man and woman, which is a gift from God within a marriage covenant. Satan perverted it. Satan has infiltrated churches, and this is nothing new. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 11, 12 to 14. He says, "And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." This deceit has not stopped today. There are false apostles, false workers disguising themselves as Christ's apostles. Even Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, and he has spiritual power. And we have seen the destruction and the fear he's wrought in the church when he's been able to create levels of anxiety and fear of allowing the Holy Spirit to move. We've seen the strange and weird happenings in churches that claim to have the Holy Spirit manifesting and filling people. We've seen and heard the chaos of people running around as if on fire, crawling around and making animal noises, moving in strange ways that often reflect demonic possession more than being filled with the Holy Spirit. Claims of glory clouds appearing and gold dust falling down from heaven. We've heard the claims of supernatural signs and wonders happening. 2 Corinthians 11, 4 says, "For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we have proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." Satan has cleverly done this in churches, unfortunately. And we see this, and we say, no, thank you. And there has been a fear that has crept into churches, even a resistance of the Holy Spirit, because we see that chaos, and we want to stay as far away from it as possible. So without even realizing, we begin to quench the Spirit. Just think how clever the enemy is in doing this. How he's able to strip the church of its power. But I want to encourage you that when a true movement of God's Holy Spirit takes place, it is a beautiful, wonderful thing. And there is order to it. There is peace to it. There is love to it. There is a tenderness to it. There is a freedom in it. It's not the counterfeit, but the real thing. And because of counterfeit, we don't stop seeking after the real thing, right? There's counterfeit money in this world, but we still keep using money and earning it. We should never stop asking, seeking, and longing for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there for the church to be encouraged by, taught by, empowered by, led by, to be set free by. The early church in Acts, they faced persecution, resistance, and were afraid. After Peter and John were arrested, they prayed. And they asked God to grant them boldness to perform miracles and signs in the name of his servant, Jesus Christ. And then this is what happens in Acts 4:31. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. So I encourage all of you today, all of us, myself, let's not quench the Spirit. Let's not resist the Holy Spirit, but rather thirst for Him, hunger for Him, ask to be filled by Him continually. He is as much God as the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, is Holy Spirit. He's not some third wheel. He is God, and He is a person, and we need Him. We need Him, especially in these end times that we're living in. It's not just the one time that we're filled with the Spirit, but multiple times. We need that filling because we leak. We got holes. We're not perfect. We need to be filled continually, and we need to ask for that and seek after that. So I just encourage you guys, let's be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church. I know we are, but let's press in even more into God, more into the Holy Spirit. And if you've never been baptized and filled by the Spirit, it's nothing to be ashamed about. God wants to fill you. He wants to fill you. He wants to give you gifts of the Spirit. But you need to ask. You need to seek. You need to knock. And He will fill you. And it's not some hierarchy thing that when you're filled and people who haven't been filled, they're above you in some way. No, not at all. God loves you. God uses you for His glory just the same. We're all precious, part of the body of Christ. Amen? So let's sing a song of worship. And during this worship, if there's somebody who is just hungering to be filled by the Spirit, to be baptized by the Spirit, just come to the altar and worship, pray. Can I ask our elders to come forward too and just be at the front here ready to pray for people if they come up? And let's just be free in worship and seeking after the Holy Spirit's presence.